Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Sarah Lane and Leo Laporte. Episode 88 for February 18th, 2009. Gina Trapani. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by Go to My PC. Wherever you go, access your PC and all your files, programs, and email remotely with Go to My PC. For a free trial of this award-winning service, visit gotomypc.com/night. It's time for Net at Night. I'm Leo Laporte from beautiful Petaluma, California.
And I am Sarah Lane from rainy San Francisco.
It's rainy here, too. I just say beautiful.
It's hailing here. Is it hailing in Petaluma?
No. You mean like where the hard white balls come out of the sky?
Yeah. Real hail. Real live hail.
Wow.
Not right the second, but it hailed this morning.
That's
against
wild.
The window. Cats freaked out. Quite a scene.
That is wild. Sarah Lane is here filling in for Amber MacArthur. In case you missed last episode, Amber had a baby, little Connor.
Connor, and who apparently has his own blog, so I hear.
Well, this was the question I was wondering. How long is it going to take before Amber is twittering, blogging, posting? And it took less than a week.
Right.
Any normal person would take a little time.
Yeah, like six weeks.
Yeah. She's like, boom. She's on the internet, but she's still not ready to do the show, which is good. Sarah and I get to do it, and I'm really pleased. Sarah's so wonderful.
I am. I mean, I have to say, I'm not glad that Amber is not doing the show, but it is really fun to be able to fill in for her because this is such a fun show. And we got a lot of good feedback after last week, so I'm thrilled that the two of you have let me come back for another one.
I think Amber did a command end. Somebody's saying she did command end today, so...
Shit.
I don't know how long it's going to be before she comes back here, but let's not rush her because it's so fun working with you. And we've got some great guests lined up next week. Drew Curtis of FARC will join us. But today this was your idea.
It was my idea because I have kind of like a lady crush on her, our guest.
I have a man crush on her.
Well, okay, then it's mutual.
Yeah.
We're crushing on Gina.
It is the best blog. I mean, I read it religiously. We're talking about Gina Trapani of Lifehacker.
Correct. Lifehacker, over the years, has given me, countless segment ideas. Plus, she, is the author of so many Firefox extensions. I mean, she actually wrote them herself.
Oh, created I didn't know
them.
That. Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ever heard of Better Gmail?
Yes, that's
Better
her.
Better Gmail was a Gina.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, and she not only writes the extensions, she's like, she's sort of, I think she's like Sun Java programmer. But she'll make sure that she updates them when Gmail was updated. Now right. They've got Better Gmail too. So, she's just like this dedicated geek, and I love her for it.
Well, and I like the range and scope of Lifehacker because you would think, it's just going to be geeky things, and it's everything.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. In fact, I've found that they cover so many things that are helpful and relevant to me that I do just a lot of blind searches at Lifehacker. Right. And I don't do that with many, many websites.
You mean you'll go to Lifehacker and search?
I'll go to Lifehacker and maybe say something like, clean up iPhoto OS 10. And an article will come up and it's like, yes, it's exactly what I was looking for. It's even better than Google search.
Yeah, that's really true because you're narrowing it down to really what is absolutely an authoritative source. So Gina's going to call in. She's going to appear in the next few minutes. Mm-hmm. But before she does, can I get your help?
Okay.
You saw, what are you laughing at?
I don't know yet.
What are you laughing at? You saw the Consumerist post. And I like Consumerist. I think it's a really great website. That really represents consumers, I think, very well. It's kind of an offshoot of Consumer Reports. I trust them. Uh-huh. Consumerist was the first to call attention to an update in the terms of service of Facebook.
Yes, the Book of Faces updated their TOS without really letting anybody know.
And
it sort of happened to notice.
It's pretty, whoo, it's pretty out there, don't you think?
I think it, well, it's a big, you know, the for everyone who's not up to speed on the deal, Facebook has, did they add or remove? They removed, I believe, some verbiage that let you, that kept us in charge of whatever we post or upload to our Facebook profiles. Now,
basically, they're saying they own everything.
Right, right.
Now, it's not it's somewhat similar to what Google asserted at first with Chrome and then backed off. Mm-hmm. But here's the concern. They say, well, what they changed was in the past when you deleted stuff from Facebook, that deleted their rights.
Right.
Now they're saying, well, because everything you post on Facebook is kind of carried onto other pages and stuff, because of Facebook Connect probably also, we can't say we're going to delete everything because everything is, you know, out there. So mm-hmm. we're not going to do that. And as usual with lawyers, they until somebody pushes back, they're going to assert everything. So they say all rights in perpetuity of everything you post, everything you link. Now, I have links on Facebook to every show, including this one. They're asserting they own that. They say we own your likeness and we can use it in advertising and we can give it to trusted third parties and let them use it in advertising. Now, this seems like it's going a little bit far. Mark Zuckerberg says, no, the founder of Facebook, trust us. We're not going to do that.
Right. He posted to the Facebook blog. You know, I thought it was pretty well worded considering.
You bought it. You think that what he said was appropriate. He said it's complicated.
Well, see, here's the thing. Okay. Now, call me naive, but I don't think there's anything to buy. I think that Facebook is saying, listen, Sarah Lane starts a profile, uploads a bunch of photos, shares them willingly with people that she has said, yes, I want you to be my friends, a two-way street. At that point, you know, that stuff is part of these friends of hers. I mean, it, you know, he makes the comparison to email. And even though,
but it,
you know,
is email, an email.
It is an email, but I think that there is a big similarity in that once you share something with someone, you have to assume that they've
a copy.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you
like
can't take that back.
A secret.
But I'm not sharing it with Facebook. I'm sharing it with you. Here, you know, Amanda French did a really good post, AmandaFrench.net, mm-hmm. comparing it to MySpace, LinkedIn, YouTube, Picasa, Twitter, concluding this is a grab, an unprecedented grab. For instance, Twitter.
Right.
This is from Twitter's rights, their terms of service. We claim no intellectual property rights over the material you provided the Twitter service. Your profile materials uploaded remain yours. You can remove your profile at any time by deleting your account. This will also remove any text and images you've stored in the system.
Mm-hmm. But then what is that? What happens to a picture where 20 people are tagged in it and you're one of those people and you go away? Does that whole picture go away? You know,
well, not if it's your picture. If it's your picture, it goes away. Yes. If it's not your picture, you don't own the rights to it.
Right.
Right. Well, so you tagged it. Joe tagged it. Fred tagged it. They're all in the picture, but it's my picture. I delete my account. The picture goes away. Yes, that entry goes away. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk me down. I think that I'm so incensed. I want to delete my account. By the way, others have already done this. Scott Bourne from Twip Photo immediately deleted his account.
Neil LaPorte, are you so incensed that you are going to delete your count of 5,000 Facebook friends? You do have 5,000, I assume.
Plus 2,800 people who want to be my friend, and I can't add.
On the what? Oh, yeah. Do you have a fan page?
I also have two fan pages.
And you have two fan pages. So,
but I'm not deleting those. I wouldn't delete those. That's not my stuff.
Right.
Wait a minute. Do they assert the right to stuff that somebody else posts on my fan page? I guess they do.
Well, you wouldn't really care about that. That's like anybody posting a tribute blog to you online. I mean, do you really care about much of that stuff?
No, okay.
Not really.
But the thing is, they assert ownership of the links, which means these shows.
Mm-hmm. That's not... See, I don't think Facebook is interested in owning your shows.
No, they're not, of course.
I mean, think of... I guess to me, it's sort of like... A long time ago, and I'm sure that you can relate, you know, especially being in the public eye, a long time ago, I kind of got rid of the whole things that I do online are private notion.
Well, that's obviously not true, right?
It's just one of those things that you've got to kind of get used to the fact that, you know, if there's a picture,
Yeah.
That goes up even for 5 minutes. Yeah. Somebody may have copied it and put it up, you know, in a million different places.
Yeah.
I don't add anything to Facebook that I would feel, you know, weird about sharing with the wrong person. I don't think that there's questionable material that I would ever share. I just, you know, even private messages, I mean, all that stuff, you know, I always assume that a third party is looking at it and I wouldn't want to be embarrassed by it. Now, Facebook to me is such a good, not just networking, but, you know, sharing tool that I just, I don't know, I'm just not buying the whole, you know, they're out to get me, they're going to sell my
likeness. Now, wait a minute.
All right.
You've seen the video that asserts that, wait a minute, there's some mysterious connection between Facebook and the CIA. Okay, get ready for this.
Okay.
There are connections from two different investment groups to a CIA investment group started by Gilman Louie, by the way, who I know because Gilman goes back to Falcon, which was a great flight simulator. I knew him back in the day in San Francisco. Very nice guy. But he started a venture fund funded by the CIA to support national security. And there's a connection to this fund through several different investors. You could make the case that the CIA has kind of through back channels invested. Now, who would be more interested in information about who's in high school, who's, you know, making a lot of trips, this kind of information in aggregate of 170 million people, that's how many people now are in Facebook, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. I think the CIA might be interested in this. Do you think they're a front?
Okay, if you are sharing sensitive information, if you've got something to hide from the CIA and you put it on Facebook,
that's your problem,
that is
isn't
your
it?
Problem, buddy.
Yeah, good point.
You know,
you're kind of putting it out there. Even if they didn't own Facebook, they could Google it.
Yeah.
Well, but wait a minute. No, wait a minute, though, because I have stuff. What if I make my profile private? Well, it kind of is private. You have to be my friend to see my profile.
Mm-hmm.
But Facebook sees it without. I mean, now this is one thing it says in this terms of service. It says subject to your privacy settings.
True. And Facebook is, I mean, I've always thought that their privacy settings are, you know, it's a wide range. You can really set them the way that you want. And I've always thought that that's really good. Mine are kind of broad because I don't care so much, but I can see where people, you know, there's certain people that, you know, you can't search by network. You know, you've got to be direct friends. I guess there is a point there. I guess that I would, if I was an extremely private person, which obviously I'm not, and I really had things to share via Facebook that I absolutely only wanted my five closest friends to see, I would have a serious problem with the CIA getting hold of that information. I just feel like, you know, social networking is, although Facebook is a powerful tool, you know, very robust, I still feel as though it is not the place to put your deepest, darkest secrets.
Well, but it doesn't have to be. What if, okay, I'm in Adam Curry country, but what if, what if I'm saying, on my page, maybe stuff like I'm a Muslim as my, cause you know, it asks your religious affiliation, you know, I travel a lot to the Middle East. This would be, wouldn't necessarily be Googleable, but might be of interest to a government agency.
True. But I also feel like, for example, the religious views, you know, you can choose to leave it blank, or you can choose to answer, or you can choose to make up something funny. On mine, I leave it blank. I figure, okay, let's say that, you know, I have a religious view that I enter. What if somebody reads that over someone's shoulder that's my friend on Facebook? That can happen. That can happen, and I have to be okay with that. Because
so don't say it, but see, this is the, you know, the Patriot Act allows the government to go to grocery stores and say, anybody who had baba ganoush or hummus on his list today, we want to know who that is.
But they can go to
I like hummus too, doesn't make me a terrorist, but this nope. But they could gather this kind of information, and I think this is, I don't know. All right, I'll tell you what, let's defer this. Well, I never told you this, but the deal with all the hosts is you don't have to. I do the ads so that you can preserve your integrity. You don't have to. There's no requirement. You know, it's not necessary.
I don't care.
You know, it's the only way we could kind of do this is to kind of, you know, make it so that you don't have to.
Yeah.
Now,
no,
give me a book that you like a lot. Do you like Eat, Pray, Love?
It's weird that you said that because, I guess it's because she's all over because of that TED Talk.
The TED Talk. People are raving about it. Gina
raving
about that. Yeah.
She, you know, I haven't watched it yet.
Me neither.
Okay, good. I'm not the only one.
Not the only one. Me neither.
But a friend of mine just gave me the book Eat, Pray, Love, which is, you know, it's nothing new, but she's trying to get me to read it for a year. And she came over the other day and said, take this, read it. It's all dog-eared. Looks like it's been through the wash a couple times. So
I'm going to send you the audio version. That's the way to read it.
I know. I'd prefer it almost.
Eat, Pray, Love. One woman's search for everything across Italy, India, and Indonesia. It could be the Sarah Lane story, for crying out loud.
It's a woman after my own heart.
I haven't read it. My wife loved it. Elizabeth Gilbert wrote it. And she just recently gave a TED Talk that everybody's raving about, which I have also not seen.
No.
So, see, this is why Audible's so great. You go to audible.com/night, sign up for that gold account right now. And you know what? I'm putting this on my wish list. Darn it, I'm not going to put this off any longer. Once you have an account, see, it's really cool. You can go to audible.com and you click the link on the right. Go there right now, audible.com. Click the link on the right. It says that, oh, you know, you probably won't see it until you have an account. Add to wish list. And now it's just kind of like the Netflix queue. It's going to add the books that I want to read next. And this is what's so great. Now, and on Audible, you know, I have a goal. I actually have a platinum account. I get 2 books a month. But whether you have gold or platinum, you have this date that your account renews, and all of a sudden you get to do this great thing, which is choose your next book.
Ooh.
Did you ever read Hermann Hesse when you were in high school? Glass Bead Game, Siddhartha. You must have read Siddhartha.
Well, I think that we...
Did you skip that?
I think we referenced. I mean, I think Siddhartha was something that there were certain chapters that we studied, but it wasn't like the class all read the book start to finish.
Yeah, maybe because it was kind of a 60s thing to do. It was certainly something when I was in high school, I don't think it was assigned, but I just got Magister Ludi, The Glass Bead Game, which is one of my favorite books from high school. And I can't wait to read that. That's going to be my next book. But I'm going to add Eat, Pray, Love to my list as well. Probably you will want to add Water for Elephants by Sarah Gruen, another, great book.
Water for Elephants.
Do you know about
that
book?
Not to be confused with Like Water for Chocolate.
No, this one's about working in the circus. That's somebody who started in the circus, you know, getting water for the elephants. Anyway, this is like...
I would love that, John.
You would love this.
I would.
This is the greatest bookstore in the world. All audiobooks. You listen, you enjoy. It's very nurturing. Great if you've got a commute. When you're driving up here to do This Week in Fun... Listen
and
to Audible
think
books.
2 books a month is about right. I would think because, it takes hours.
Well, it depends on your commute. When I was doing Tech TV, I would go through 2 or 3 books because I had a, 2 or 3 hour commute every day.
Right, right. So you had a lot of
time. That's when I really got into Audible. I have over 300 books, almost 400 books now in my Audible library. That's the other thing that's great about Audible is you keep those books. They're in your library. You don't even have to. You can download them again anytime.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, I'm as you probably can tell, I'm a fan. It's not because they're an advertiser. I'm a fan. We love them. Audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support. Maybe Gina Trapani will tell me whether to delete my Facebook account or not.
She might have an opinion.
She's on the line right now. Hi, Gina Trapani.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so glad to meet you. I am such a fan.
Oh, it's great talking to you. Thanks for having me on today.
Also with Gina, with us is Sarah Lane, who is on via Skype.
Hello, Gina.
Hey, Sarah.
So we both confess to having crushes on you.
I don't actually hear her.
Crush,
hear
crushes
myself.
On your content.
Okay. Well, that is less embarrassing. That made me blush a little less. But thank you.
When did you become the life hacker? How did that happen?
It happened in the beginning of 2005, and actually January 2005. It was sort of an accident. I was like having lunch with Nick one day, and he was like, "Hey, I registered lifehacker.com, like the domain." And I was just like, really? It was available? That's great. What are you going to do with it? And we just kind of started riffing on ideas. And, next thing you know, I'm a pro blogger. Go figure.
Well, now you're like the pro blogger. I think Lifehacker of is in the top, 5 or 10 of profitable, well-done, good content, blogs out there. And it's a must read. Both Sarah and I say that. Sarah said she even searches it directly. Like if she knows there's a... She doesn't have to even know that you've written about it. She just looks first for a tips
just
from
did that the other day, in fact.
Yeah.
Hey, Leo, I can't hear Gina.
Oh, I can make you hear her.
Oh, good.
I have ways. I turned up the wrong knob. Now you can hear. So when you say Nick who?
No, I'm sorry. Nick Denton, who runs Gawker Media, and Gawker publishes Lifehacker.
Had you worked for Nick before? How did that happen?
Yeah, I was. I'm actually a web developer, sort of posing as a writer. I was doing some development work for him on another project that he had been working on at the time. So I was I was one of his code monkeys, basically.
You're a code monkey.
I am. It's true.
I like that. So, did you have to? How hard did you have to work at first to get those life hacks?
Oh, good God! The first few months of doing Lifehacker was. Really, it was like boot camp. It was totally blogging boot camp. It was difficult. I just wasn't used to the kind of output, you know, that the site required, and I would just agonize over every sentence, and I just wasn't used to writing every day, you know. So it was tough. The first few months, I were really it was trial by fire for sure. But then I got into my groove, sort of probably halfway through the first year, and then I got other writers, which helped a lot as well.
I can definitely relate to that whole feeling overwhelmed at first. Leo, you know what I mean, having done all that live television talking about a lot of the stuff that the content of Lifehacker was about, too.
Well, see, I never had to. I just had you do it.
Gina, I can't tell you how many great ideas for segments you've given me over the years. So,
thank you. I'm so glad to hear that.
Because you were doing it right when Gina started, 2005 was right the last year of Tech TV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it has carried through, to this day. In fact, I was just searching Lifehacker the other day because I was looking for some, sort of, is there an OS X app that could do what I wanted to do? And sure enough, I did find something. So.
Excellent.
So,
go ahead, Leo.
No, please. I don't want to get in the way of your lady crush. Go right ahead.
It's a fangirl alert. You know, it's funny because not only are you reporting on a lot of the, life hacky type things that people should know about and people should use, but you're, an author of Firefox extensions as well. For somebody who uses a million Firefox extensions, but I really have no idea what goes into them, what is, the process of writing something like that? How long does it take?
To put together a Firefox extension?
Yeah, like Better Gmail, for example, is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Well, Better Gmail actually came through my work at Lifehacker. Like I kept posting about these great like user scripts that people were writing for GreaseMonkey, right? And GreaseMonkey is this other Firefox extension, but to use the scripts, you had to install GreaseMonkey, then you had to install the extension. It was just a lot of work for like a little bit of benefit. So Better Gmail was like, why don't I just call these things into one package to make it, kind of a single install thing? And I started developing extensions. Like I said, I was a web developer first before anything else. So at some point, I found some guide to like how to make a Firefox extension. This is back when Firefox was like version like 0.9. And I just walked my I read through the tutorial and put together my first kind of hello world. And I love Firefox and I work in it all day every day. And I was just curious, so I started making extensions. So then. When I got the idea for Better Gmail, it just kind of all came together. And the code in Better Gmail is totally based on someone else's project, a GreaseMonkey script compiler that somebody else had written. So, like, it was just kind of, building on someone else's work, which is kind of the beauty of, open source.
Right.
I actually wrote a script that builds the extensions for me. So now to put together a new Better extension is, an hour or two, really. But over the years, I've definitely put, many, many hours into the extensions. I got a bunch of them now, like Better Gmail, Better YouTube, Better Amazon, but Better Gmail is definitely the most popular.
So they're JavaScript and CSS. That's kind of what you work in. Do you get to do much web development anymore? I mean,
Not very much. In fact, just last month I stepped down from lead editor at Lifehacker so I could have a little more time to do some more development because I really missed it. I missed making stuff because, I was writing about stuff that other people were making every day and I was like, God, I've got so many ideas and I just don't have the time to do them. So I'm actually just getting back to doing more development now.
And Lifehacker's showing the results because it's looking better and better all the time. It really is now. It's what you're doing with it is gorgeous. I just really like it.
Oh, yeah. Thank Thank you. Thank you. You know, Lifehacker has a great team of designers and
so you don't get to work on your own site that much?
No, I actually don't do any development behind Lifehacker, which has been nice because I was able to just concentrate on the writing part because I'll just fiddle with my CMS, you know, forever. But the folks at Gawker have been really great about making it look good.
You've got two books now. I remember pretty quickly on, in fact, I think we might have interviewed you when this one came out, 88 Tricks to Turbocharge Your Day, the Lifehacker book. Mm-hmm. I know Merlin Mann is a big fan. He talked about it a lot. And then last year, Upgrade Your Life, the Lifehacker Guide to Working Smarter, Faster, Better. Boy, your timing couldn't be better. We all have to learn a new way of working thanks to the bad economy.
Yeah, that's true, because you do more with less, right?
Yeah. Well, and all just kind of reinventing yourself, too.
Yeah, and figuring out, you know, ways to get stuff done faster and just kind of be more sort of confident, more efficient with the computer. That's kind of the point of doing the book. And, in fact, the second book is really the second edition of the first book. It was kind of a sneaky trick. My publisher said, hey, let's give this a new title. No one knows who Lifehacker is. And
fooled me. Fooled me. Oh, man, the secret's out.
So, Gina, how did you come up with the name Smarterware? Of course, we're referring to smarterware.org, which is your newest venture.
Yes. Yeah, that is my new very slow personal tech blog, which I don't post to nearly as much as Lifehacker. It's just kind of an offshoot of my idea with Lifehacker, which was just like, you know, Lifehacker is a combination of, you know, technology and kind of self-improvement and, you know, ways that you can apply technology to make your life better versus just kind of ogling at pretty shiny things, although we do that quite a bit too. So Smarterware to me means like making good decisions about how, you know, you use software and using software the best ways you can. So just being smart about the technology in your life and how you use it. I think that that's the sort of the next level for users, right? So you have people who are used to having these like really powerful smart machines on their desk and all the things that they can do with them, but what are the things that they should do with them, right? And that's, you know, the human is always in the kind of driver's seat, right? So that's kind of what my idea was around the name.
Yeah, I know Leo and I can both attest to, you know, we always want to try everything that's new, and half the time it's really just wasteful, not because they're not good programs, but because nobody can ever do everything. You know, you might have to choose your battles as far as, you know, new apps or new, you know, web services or what have you. I mean, you just
without a doubt
kind of just have to figure out, well, what kind of a person am I? And, you know, what do I want to do with this?
Gina, you seem like the kind of person who writes your own tools.
I do.
See, I always admire that. If you know how to program, you don't have to use other people's tools. You just write your own.
Yeah, but, you know, the hard, cold reality that I keep ramming my head up against is that, like, when you have a team of developers at a company working on something full-time, they're generally going to produce something that's a little better than, like, I can put together in 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. And yet, I still keep spending those few hours to put together my own stuff, which I do because, I enjoy it, and I like to see, you know, what kind of stuff I can riff on. But I do actually put together my own stuff. And, in fact, I'm working on a little task manager that I put together myself, when there are all these like amazing task managers out there, you know, organize your to-do list. Here I am, you know, writing my own. But
and yours is command line based. That's what I like.
Right, which, you know, nobody uses anymore, right?
No, I have downloaded it. I love it. I think the whole idea is so cool. But for a long time, I was using Merlin Mann's, you know, Quicksilver text hack to write to a text-based to-do list. And this just takes it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a Jabber bot. I mean, I just think is this what you do in your spare time? You sit down and you say, I want to code this.
Sadly, this is what I do with my spare time instead of go outside.
No, I love
it. Deal here.
I love it. Are you kidding? I think this is great. So are you a bash shell programmer? Is that your thing?
You know, I sort of messed around with Bash and came up with that to-do thing. I'm kind of, you know, a fly by the seat of my pants programmer when it comes to Bash. I haven't done too much. I mean, you know, I'll dabble until I'm satisfied, and then I'm like, okay, I'm never not quite an expert, but I like to play until I can get it to do something.
You know, it's funny because one of the first things, and I think I got it from a Bash shell cookbook that I ever did in Bash, was a to-do list for, you know, kind of you know, the starting point of what you've got, you've actually made so much, you know, now you've got context. We had David Allen on last week. I should have asked him, is, have you seen the Bash Shell getting things done? That's the way to get things.
Bash what?
What are you talking about?
It sounds very violent.
He said, I use Lotus Notes. I thought, oh, that's way too heavyweight. You need to learn about the shell, man. You need command line scripting. So what do you work at mostly now? Do you get to sit back and be a founder, or do you get to work on new projects? What are you doing?
Well, I've pretty much just been splitting my time between doing tech writing for Lifehacker and for a couple other publications here and there, and development. So I figured out that I got to do the left brain, right brain thing, right?
Yep.
I got to do both the writing and the development. So I am doing, I've got, you know, this folder full of pet projects like To-Do Text and my better extensions that I'm working on, and doing some writing here and there and getting back into some web development. I mean, I feel like I've been out of the web development game for so long because I was just blogging all day long. So I'm teaching myself, you know, all the stuff that I missed, you know, like the Rails and the Ajax and that kind of stuff, the Twitter API, that all those kind of things I've been kind of, you know, drooling to get my hands on the last few years, but I've been too busy blogging. I'm kind of diving into now. So I'm having a lot of fun. I'm kind of just, you know, noodling around with some new ideas. So it's been a lot of fun.
Did you study programming in college? Was this your major? Were you a CS major?
I did. I was an English major as an undergrad with a comp sci minor, and then I got my graduate degree in comp sci.
That's a perfect mixture, English and comp sci.
Yeah, it was an unusual mixture.
Yeah.
My comp sci teachers, you know, didn't really know what to do with me because I was like explicating poems, you know, one period, and then in the next period I was, you know, writing assembly, so...
I think that's very modern. I really like that. I mean, I think that it breaks down that artificial distinction between, you know, the left brain and the right brain, the literature and math. I think that's great.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That book, A Whole New Mind, that talks about that a lot, kind of, you know, connecting those things. So that's my goal anyway.
I think it's really neat, Gina, that you've been able to say, listen, I love to talk about this stuff. I love to, you know, do research. I love to know what everyone's doing and have my finger on the pulse of what's new and interesting, but be able to say, I want to be part of that. I want to be able to be a creator, not just a reporter. And I know a lot of people who either, you know, in the media industry or, you know, bloggers or who go through that all the time, who feel as though it's great to be able to talk about all of it, but you know, you want to be one of the people who's making something really cool that other people are talking about. So kudos to you to be able to do both.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's been a month really since I stepped down from the daily news editing, and I feel so out of touch. Like, I haven't been in my RSS reader for literally like 3 weeks now.
Oh,
and I'm trying
right.
to like find that balance between like, how do you, you know, stay in tech news and keep updated and know exactly what's going on and still be heads down, you know, on making something of your own. I think it's tough. It's definitely tough to keep that perspective. I got to figure out how to stay on top of, you know, what's happening and still focus. So it's going to be definitely an ongoing process.
What social media tools do you use? I know you're on Twitter.
I am on Twitter. I you know, two or three years ago, I thought Twitter was the stupidest idea in the whole world, you know, like everyone else. And now it's my favorite. It's literally my favorite place to go online. I use Twitter and Flickr pretty much probably the most. I sync my Twitter status to Facebook, so I kind of stop into Facebook once in a while, though Facebook freaks me out a little bit. but yeah, I'd say Twitter and Flickr probably the most at this point.
Yeah. And are you writing a Twitter tool? You said you're learning the Twitter API.
Yeah, I am going to mess around with the Twitter API. I have a couple of ideas, although I feel like, you know, anything that can be done with the API has kind of been done. I feel like every week there's another Twitter-related
amazing,
popularity contest app. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing.
What's your favorite right now? What do you like?
To access Twitter, to look at Twitter?
Yeah, do you use TweetDeck?
Twitterific? Twitter phone?
I did use TweetDeck for a while, and then I always find myself going back to the web client, weirdly. Yeah, I just got an Android phone, so I've been using Twitteroid, which is okay. I'm getting used to it. For me, Twitter was the place where I was sort of doing my personal blogging over the past 3 years. Like, I was doing my day job was Lifehacker, but then Twitter is kind of the only place that I was really sort of publishing personal stuff. So I'm interested in kind of getting all like my Twitter history and kind of turning it into, you know, bringing it over to, you know, a personal site or archiving it somehow on my side. So I think I'm going to play with the API and see how that goes.
So you're interested in social networking. Do you think that this social media is a fad, or is it something that's going to be around for a while?
I have mixed feelings about the whole social media thing. I mean, the internet is a tool for communication, right? So, I mean, I don't think it's going to go away, but I have a hard time with the whole kind of social media. I have a hard time with that term. I have a hard time with sort of the whole, you know, marketing industry that's grown up around it. I'm not much of a marketer. I'm a terrible marketer. And I understand that companies need people to help them understand, you know, why this works. And I'm really happy that, you know, Obama won the election because of his campaign, you know, used social media tools, you know, in a savvy, smart way. I'm kind of looking forward to a time when it's, you know, not this like big new hot thing and just a regular part of life.
Well, Twitter's starting to be that way. I mean, you know,
the real
people have arrived.
And, yes,
and pushed us geeks out of the way, I might add. Elbowing us. Get out of here.
Well, you know what will be kind of nice is when social media isn't, you know, the tool for, you know, personal branding. I feel like on Twitter.
There's a little too much of that. I agree.
How many followers you have and how you can plug everything else you're doing. And I think it's a great tool for that. But I know, you know, at least the circles I run in, it's like, everybody stop it.
It's true. I am definitely like tired of having the personal branding conversation. I get asked a lot, you know, for interviews, like, how do you manage your personal brand? And it's like, I mean, I suppose that I do, but I'm not thinking about managing my personal brand. I'm just being myself.
Right.
Like,
right.
How's that for managing a personal brand? Just be yourself.
Right. Yeah.
But you
sounds pretty good.
You do have an article. In fact, it's the most recent article on Smarterware that talks about stopping, no longer being an employee. This is the time to start. And in a way, that's what you're saying is it's about building yourself. Yeah. Let's not use the brand word, but that's really what it's about. Right.
Right. Right. Yes. Taking the time to do things that mean something to you, building yourself, learning more, experimenting, playing. Definitely. Definitely.
It's a real opportunity. And that, you know, we're working on a podcast about the new way of work. I think the timing's pretty good, called What Now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the kind of the issue is, well, what do I, you know, is this an opportunity, this recession? Is this an opportunity? I think for some it is. It's a real chance to reinvent yourself.
Definitely. I absolutely agree. I'm all about the silver lining for sure. And that is it.
Will you ever be an employee again, Gina?
The question that my whole family wants to know.
Yeah, when are you going to get a job? When are you going to get a job?
I talked to my mom on the phone yesterday and she said, so have you decided what you want to do? And I said, what I want to do? Like, for dinner? Like, I don't, what do you mean, Mom? And she's like, you know, for work. And I was like, Oh, man. We're going to have this conversation. Like, it's only been a couple of weeks.
What do you tell people when they ask what you do? I mean, you know, geeks, you can tell them, I'm Gina Trapani. But when your mom asks...
I say that I'm a freelancer, which usually suffices for the most part. And I just, you know, sometimes I really stretch things for people who don't know what blogs are or anything. And I say I'm a technology journalist, which I feel really guilty about saying because I don't quite feel like a journalist. But
that's what I say. And I have the same exact qualms. It's like, well, I'm not Dan Rather, but it'll do in a pinch.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Technology journalist. It sounds like Walt Mossberg. No, that's not me.
Right. Exactly.
And then they ask you, well, okay, I have this problem with my email. Can you help me?
You never want the conversation to go down that road.
No,
you really never
it's
do.
Bad.
It's
bad.
True.
Although, hey, Gina, as long as we got you on the line, I'm having this. Never mind. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that to you.
I wouldn't believe you. I really wouldn't buy that to you, Leo. I'm going to have you over to fix my computer.
It's so great to talk to you. You've got so many irons in the fire. I wouldn't dare ask you what you're going to do next. Smarterware.org is the new website. If you want, you can go there and get links to a lot of Gina's products and work. And of course, there's lifehacker.com. There's the book Upgrade Your Life, which we now know I already have because I have the first one. So I'm going to get them both. You're speaking at South by Southwest, I see, which is fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Should be a lot of fun. And if you want to do getting things done the command line way, then you can do, you can go to todotxt.org and get todo.txt. Is that, so that's currently in development. You're still developing that.
I am. And in fact, a new version will be out tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on Lifehacker.
Yay. Ooh, that's good timing.
Yeah, it sure is. It just, it was a very fortuitous timing. I'm working on it right now, actually. I haven't posted a new update in like 3 years. This is what,
well, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Having some time now, it means. Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
There will be a new version tomorrow. So
VI or Emacs?
Just the terminal. Well, but VI for me.
VI.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. I'm a VI girl.
There
yeah,
you
yeah.
go. VIM? VIM or just plain
no,
VI?
Just plain VI.
Plain VI.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's the stand. That's the new geek question. You have to ask that.
It's true. And the old one. And depending on how you look at it.
And that, yeah, it's really the old one. And then, but what's great is a real geek knows the answer.
Yes.
VI. What are you talking about? Of course, VI. And if
Emacs lovers flame me on Lifehacker, so you know,
so
I'm not
going
to mess with any Emacs fans.
That's so funny. Well, it's been my goal someday to learn Lisp. Once I learn Lisp, yes. Then I'll learn Emacs.
Yes, that's a good idea.
And the one last question, and this is the one Sarah and I are debating: should I delete my Facebook profile?
Oh, that's a really good question. I am also mulling this over. Yes, it's just that my whole entire, like all the women I went to high school with have just discovered Facebook.
Right.
So suddenly I'm in touch with all these people. And now I'm like, if I delete my profile, you know, I'm not going to be able to, you know, Facebook message like the first kid I ever like held hands with, you know, when I was 13.
No, my very first girlfriend is my Facebook friend.
Isn't it wild?
It's bizarre.
Crazy. And they've all had babies and the babies look like them. It's crazy.
Well, when you're my age, they all have teenagers, and that's what's really, they look like they did when I knew them. It's like, wait a minute, is that you or your daughter? Oh my God. And then now my first girlfriend has a kid named Leo, and I don't want to ask about that. I don't want to know what that's all about. She says it's purely coincidence.
I don't know, Leo.
Do you believe that?
I don't know. See, if you deleted your Facebook account, you wouldn't have to face that.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I use Facebook Connect. But now I think, am I being a pusher by using Facebook Connect?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I know. I had the same thought when I set up my new site.
Do you use Facebook Connect?
I do.
Yeah.
I put in an OpenID login, which, you know, like hardly anyone ever uses, but I believe in it because it is an open standard. And then I put Facebook Connect, which of course everybody
uses. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's how OpenID should have been, but for some reason wasn't.
Right. Right.
And it's so complicated to use OpenID. I mean, I have OpenID and I use OpenID, but it seems odd. And Facebook Connect just works.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Gina, we're going to let you go back to .txt.
Great. It was really great talking with you. Thank you so much for having me.
So good
today.
To talk to you. I hope we can talk again.
Definitely.
And keep up to date on what Gina Trapani's doing now that she has a little time in her life.
It's going to get crazy.
It's crazy. She's insane. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you so
Bye,
much.
Bye, Gina. See you at South by Southwest.
Are you going to South by
Southwest?
Oh, I wish I... Oh.
You're not going?
No. Now I want to go.
Yeah, you should come. Come on down.
We were. You know what we were thinking? I was talking with Jason Calacanis. He wants to do a Mahalo Twit bus that would start up here in Petaluma, and then we would pick up people, and we'd do tweet-ups along the way. We'd do shows along the way, and we'd end up in Austin after, like, 5 days. This bus, it's a rock and roll bus that sleeps 12.
Oh, wow. My good.
I don't know, huh? We could stop in San Diego, Gina.
Sounds good. I'm on the bus.
It's on the way. All right,
excellent.
Gina. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye,
take
Gina.
Care,
thank you so much.
Oh, isn't it fun to talk? Now I really do have a crush on her.
I know, right?
She's adorable.
Did you? I kind of, after a while, I was just sort of transfixed listening. You know, like.
She's got so much energy.
So, and doesn't she seem like she's smiling all the time?
Kind of hate
You know,
that.
She just seems happy and geeky.
Aren't web
Love
developers
her.
Supposed to be grumpy and wear black? Isn't,
yeah.
What is the deal? It's the new style of web development.
You know, lots of smoking and, you know.
Gawaz.
Angry.
So you're going to South by Southwest.
Yeah, you know, and you know what's funny is I saw Jason's tweet about the bus and I didn't know that it was just sort of a fun idea. I thought you were actually doing it. So I went, great, good. They're going to be there. You know, we'll do
Well, we still could.
That, I mean, I have to say, as much as a rock and roll bus sounds like fun, it sounds like by the time you got there, you would be dead. It
sounds kind of stinky, too.
It sounds kind of exhausting. And
apparently, so it's got 12 bunks, but but they're narrow. So if you could make it 6 bunks and have a little more room.
But you're still a roadie.
Yeah, you kind of are. So we would leave from here. We'd go to San Francisco, do an event. Which cat is there? There's 2 cats now I'm seeing.
Yeah, they don't like to let me do anything.
Cat has big eyes. What is it?
This is Lucy.
What is she looking at?
She doesn't know. She just wants to be part of the group.
Massive eyes. That's
beautiful. She's a real busybody. She's cute though.
And who's that?
That's Lucy.
The black one is.
Black one is Sam.
Sam.
And you didn't really see, but half the time that Gina was talking, Sam was shredding my notes just off camera. So
just in case you might want them.
Just in case I, had something I wanted to remember.
No. Yeah. You don't need these, do you? I think I might make a nest. I'm not a bird, but I'm going to make a nest today.
God love them. They drive me insane.
But what would you do without them?
I don't know. Be bored.
Yeah. Cats are the new, cats are huge.
Cats are huge.
In fact, didn't Icon has cheeseburger? Isn't that empire expanding?
Yeah. In fact, it's weird because... Okay, so, Ben of Icon has cheeseburger... I had the opportunity to meet him a while back because he was a guest on Martin Sargent's old show, Internet Superstar, and really cool guy. And they've become friends. And so, Martin sort of has an inside track on, oh, Ben's doing this or doing that. But they just, they've sort of been buying up the internet lately.
Clearly, LOL Cats got some bucks.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, okay. So, everyone kind of laughs about, the lolcat. Phenomenon.
I'm sorry. Did I say I said it wrong? It's lolcat, not LOL cats.
I say lolcat.
I'm old and in the way.
Right. You're old and in the way a little bit, but that's okay. We still like you.
Lolcats.
Lolcats. Okay. I don't know. I think.
What
I think
is it you kids do? I can have a cheeseburger.
What is a cheeseburger?
What is that all about?
Hungry?
Why are you talking so funny?
You eat if you want a cheeseburger.
There's clearly money in it.
Now, I don't know how much time you spend on that side, and even though
none,
I'm a huge
I hate lolcats.
Okay, all right. Well, see, I love them, as you can probably imagine. Even I go there when I remember, and it's not even once a week. I would probably say I go once a month, if that.
But you don't have to go there because they're everywhere.
Well,
if there's a good one, it's going to be posted.
That's still the best place to get them. Except the ones with mice or horses. They're just not as funny as cats for some reason. But someday, just for fun,
yes.
Do yourself a favor
okay. And
read some of the comments. Because every single entry has, over 200 comments. I mean, it's a really, really dedicated community. And all of the comments are written in lolcat.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, talk about
crazy town.
Crazy town.
Do you think in lolcat now? I mean, is it kind of like...
Sometimes.
Do you really?
Well, I talk in it sometimes.
Do you?
Around, Veronica. She's
into it too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So every once in a while, you guys will lapse into lolcat?
A little bit, yeah.
I got to hear that.
Invisible bicycle, that kind of thing. But anyway, so Icon has cheeseburger, the sort of parent company is called Pet Holdings. That's, kind of the umbrella under which Icon has is part of. And they have just bought TwittyPick. TwittyPick is, it's sort of like, okay, so if you go to TwittyPick, basically popular pictures that are being linked to on Twitter will rise to the top of TwittyPick. It's very sort of dig-like in a way. The more references to a picture, the higher it will be on the TwittyPick page. And the thing is that, pictures... are often shared on Twitter because they're funny, but not always. Sometimes they're weird or, oh, I can't believe it or whatever. So it's really not really a comedy buy for them. It's more of a cultural buy, I would think.
And a lot of videos now on there, too.
Videos, too. I don't know. I mean, I think he's just, from everything I've heard... the few folks who are kind of running the show behind the scenes, it's a very modest operation. You know, are they just kind of like, let's buy up what we can? I don't know.
Well, when you have money, which apparently they do, I mean, why not buy as much as you can?
I guess so. I guess anything that has to do with photos and videos that are popular and are going to be shared exponentially is a good thing.
You bet.
You know?
You bet. They have a I Can Has Cheeseburger video now on here of a cat eating a Twinkie.
There's also a banana cat, a cat eating a banana.
Oh, is that a banana? Maybe that's what that is. I couldn't figure out what that was. That's a banana, not a Twinkie.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm so out of it. I don't even know.
See, if you brought up the audio, it would be that ring, ring, ring banana phone song.
Oh, let's do that right now. Bring, ring, ring banana phone. Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure. Is this making you happy?
I've got this feeling.
You're really enjoying this.
Yes.
For us to get together and sing, sing. Ring, 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 ring. Banana phone. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding. Banana phone.
Is that the...
It's the stupidest thing in the entire world.
Is that
world.
The hamster dance of 2009? Is that what that is?
You know, banana phone is old. Banana
well, that's these things never like, die, do they?
Banana phone is like peanut butter jelly time
right.
era.
Right.
But it, you know, it's funny because, hey, look at that cat likes the banana.
It makes you happy.
It does. It makes me smile and laugh. I don't know why. But I'm not alone.
I think in future years, sociologists or maybe archaeologists will have a field day with all this crap.
Yes.
Like, what the hell was going on?
Try to figure out what humans, what sort of weird...
What were they smoking?
Spell they were under.
This must have been when they discovered marijuana.
Where it's like, remember when they used to wear petticoats?
Yeah. Remember lolcats?
They wanted to talk like they were felines?
I think there will be scholarly papers written in the year 2090 about lolcats.
I think so, too. Something, you know, it'll be tied back into Freud. So it'll be we're repressed somehow as
well,
a culture.
There's a guy in Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley sociologist, who wrote a book about black humor and sick joke cycles. And it was his thesis. Now, I wonder if this guy has updated. I think his name was Alan Dundas. And his thesis was that these sick jokes, you know, the elephant jokes, you're probably too young to remember elephant jokes, but they were all the rage, reflected society's inability to deal with some serious issues. So they kind of turned into, elephant jokes were like, how do you know an elephant's been in your refrigerator? The footprints on the Jello. And
that's a joke?
Well, barely. But they were dumb. But there were these sick joke cycles. There were baby jokes. I don't know if you remember those. You're too young. In fact, I think that in the internet age, they've gone away. But he said, for instance, the elephant jokes were, because they were big in the 60s, were society attempting to deal with racism. Uh-huh. And it was Freudian. It was a way of kind of, in a subterranean way, talking about these issues and getting them out in the open without really conflict.
Saying what everyone was thinking,
right.
Kind of a thing.
And the baby, the dead, there was a whole dead baby joke cycle. And he said that was abortion. That was when Roe v. Wade and people dealing with this.
I've heard a few dead baby jokes.
Yeah. And they're sick. But they were a way of kind of processing.
Isn't that weird how things that are just beyond inappropriate can sometimes be sort of acceptable and funny? Maybe not to everybody, but to a lot of people.
Well, that's how I feel about lolcats.
Oh, now come on!
These things should be. Haven't they run their course?
Into abortion.
Now, do you think? No. I'm not saying that at all. Do you think that? You and Veronica.
I love how Veronica's going to love how I brought her in.
It's your fault.
Sorry, V.
You and Veronica. Well, no. I think she's pretty upfront about her lolcats obsession.
Totally.
Is it going to, I mean, it's been a few years now, hasn't it?
The lolcat phenomenon?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think the first time, can I even remember the first time? What? I don't know. Was it before 2007? Because 2007.
It's been a while. See, that's what puzzles me. This isn't like something, a fad that goes. You guys, it's in your brain somehow, this weird. There is, I guarantee you, someday an anthropologist is going to come along and say, oh, yes, well, I know what that was all about.
I wish we were in my living room right now because I have, maybe I should run and go get it. I have like a lolcat poster, like on like poster board.
Have you ever made a lolcat?
Yeah, they're not that fun. Mine are dumb. There's, you know, there's lolcat generators, you know, where they've got, you know, yeah. It's the font, you know, the white with the black outline. And I don't know. I always take pictures of my cat sleeping or something. And they're not really very funny. One of these days, mark my words, I will have a good lolcat, though.
Can I admit to something terrible and awful? I have made in my life two lolcats and posted them to I Can't Has Cheeseburger.
Did they make it?
I don't think so.
How can you post them and then not go and check?
I know you're supposed to, because there's voting, right? And then they vote up your lolcat and then
you have the adoration of all your peers.
I'd have to go back. They're on my blog somewhere. I'd have to, or maybe my Tumblr blog. I'd have to go back.
See, all of this talk about I hate lolcats.
And I've made two, and you haven't made any.
Me too. And I haven't made any.
One was my kitty cat. Was lying on the bed when he was a kitten. He's a very, uh-huh. He was very dark black cat lying on the bed with my Sony ebook reader. Mm-hmm. And I think it was something like I Can't Has ebook. I can't remember the exact joke. Wasn't that funny?
A lot of them aren't that funny.
My thinking. You're coming around to my way of thinking.
It's true. It's true. But sometimes they really are funny. I don't know.
One I did, which I think is not that funny. Well, I don't even want to say it out loud. It's kind of embarrassing.
You know what the thing about, here's the lolcat thing that I like. And you can argue this with me if you want, but I definitely, it's so sort of geeky and there are so many geek references
it's
Star Wars or computers or what have you, that there's so many references that a lot of girlfriends of mine who have cats would not think was funny at all. It's not really even about
the cat. No, it's not about cats. It's about being a geek.
It's about being a geek.
And you've hit the nail on the head. I think we've written this paper for this grad student in the year 2090, but it is geek identification. It's self-identification. It's how you talk to a geek and say, I'm a geek. And they go, yeah, you're a geek. Because you know, it's like Jonathan Colton or, the pirate joke.
Right.
Because
we can connect through cats.
We connect through cats, but we're not really through cats. We connect through cats saying geeky things.
Right. It's that whole once removed geek thing where we don't really want to hang out together. We just want to make lolcat posters and then send them to each other.
It's always been like that, though, when geeks, for instance, in my era in college, you could identify a geek because they could repeat verbatim lines from Firesign Theater albums.
Uh-huh.
That was how you knew. And to this day, if I meet somebody my age and I go, hi, a friend, Roush, Bosh, Bosh, Roush, Bosh, Bosh, Bosh.
They go,
oh, yeah. It's a self-identifying, like, okay, you're a geek.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I think today, wow, gosh, what would be like the ultimate geek? See, it's so much more widespread. It's so much more mainstream
now.
That's
what we hate about it. We don't want that.
Yeah. See, I feel like, quoting Ghostbusters can, fit into the geek thing now. I just said Ghostbusters because yesterday I was like, would I be the gatekeeper, the key master?
Right,
my friend looks at
You'd
me and goes,
Gozer.
What do you think? Oh, yeah, right.
You'd be Gozer. But see, that's great. And then say, I would say, no, but actually I'm the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. So see, there's something about that, though, where you connect on this level because you both had adolescent obsessions that you never really quite got out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really...
They're not out of mine.
No.
That's for sure.
It's really almost admitting that you had a pathetic... But I bet, weren't you popular in high school? I bet you were really popular.
I had a good group of friends, for sure. I like to think that I, was friends with a lot of different people, not just the football keg crowd. Although there was a lot of that. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, there's something, a new feature of you're turning me back onto Tumblr. I came back to Tumblr because of you, and there's all these new features and I'm loving this.
But oh, right.
There's a new one I want to talk about. You want to talk about in just a little bit. We're going to mention that in a second. But I do also want to say hello to our friends at Go to My PC. Go to My PC. This is a the great folks from Citrix who do the Go to My PC product. This is a remote access. But, you know, I hate almost to say that because probably a lot of you have tried, you know, other free open source remote solutions. And I got to say, they can be very... sluggish, difficult to use, hard to configure. Your firewall gets in the way. Not Go to My PC. It does NAT traversal. It's 128-bit SSL encryption. Instead of a VPN, you can use this to surf safely from anywhere. I mean, even like the most seedy internet cafe. Where's the seediest place you went in your world travels?
The seediest?
Yeah, like the worst internet cafe you ever used.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not sure there were some really awful ones.
Oh, boy.
You know, where you just thought, I am going to get a virus just by touching this computer.
I had cockroaches run across my feet while at the internet cafe.
There you go.
Comes to mind in particular in India. Yeah. Not a good
So you're there. Now, look, you got to get online. You want to surf. You want to check your Gmail. But, you know, you're on like this computer. So go to My PC. It makes it 128-bit encryption, SSL. Cannot be cracked. There's never been an exploit discovered. We just heard about a new exploit with Microsoft's RPC, not with Go to My PC. From the folks at Citrix, PC World One gave them their world-class award yet again this year for best remote access software. I want you to try it free. Good time to do it is if you're about to go on vacation or travel. Go to gotomypc.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. gotomypc.com/night. You get 30 days free. You can try it. I should have set you up with this before you left for your world trip.
I know.
Just God, think.
Only I would have known all the encryption, all the safety.
Well, also, you know, like, you know, you're missing a file or you want to, you could run any program, check any, your email. It's just like your home or your office computer.
I love that. Gosh, I would have killed. I mean, I had a laptop with me, but it would have been so nice to have something, you know, sort of like a home-based type of a thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Go to mypc.com. Next time you go on that world tour, you want to bring that along.
I will. It's going to be a while.
You're not doing that again for a while? You had enough of that?
I got to save up another 50 grand or so.
How much you spent?
Well, okay. That was for two people. So I would say, honestly, and this is, you know, living cheaply. We're talking backpacking and sleeping among the cockroaches sometimes. It was probably about 30 grand.
But that's for a whole year for two people. That's not so bad. And that includes airfare and all that stuff?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, airfare is easily the most expensive part of it. I mean, you can literally, you know, sleep somewhere for a dollar a night in certain areas of the world as long as you don't mind being uncomfortable.
But if you so you could save up 15 or 20,000 as a single person and say, see you in a year. This is what Sarah did, if people don't know this. I'll see you in a year. We were blown away. It's like you quit G4 and you said, I'm gone.
I said, I'm gone. Yeah.
I felt
really good about it too. I mean, I still do. Even though, you know, I've been back almost 2 years now.
Has it been that long? Wow.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it crazy? I came back in at the end of April of 2007, but you know, it's a lot of money, you know, I mean, this was, you sort of, it was,
well,
it
and you're
was,
not earning
my
money
life savings yeah. and you're not earning money. I mean, there's little things that you can do. You know, you can blog, and I suppose if you were really lucky, you could get the Travel Channel to, you know,
well,
pay for
didn't
some.
Didn't you try
show.
To do that?
Sort of, but you know, the problem was that the more you're working,
the less
it's about you.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, it was really I wanted to share what I was doing with the world, so it was important to, you know, keep up on the blog and take lots of pictures and share. You know, the sharing part of it was fun for me, but not the obligatory, let's get to a FedEx place and send back a tape to somebody.
Yeah, that takes the fun out of it.
You know, you didn't want a crew with you. You know, it was sort of, it's just, you know, it was really about kind of just dropping out in a way.
Yeah.
And then I missed it. I wanted to sit at a desk with a computer every day.
But that's good. No, the best thing, one of the things I really enjoy about travel, and I love to travel. I travel every year somewhere interesting, is it really makes you appreciate what you've got when you get home.
Yes, that's true.
You say, I love this country. I love where I live. I love my bed. I love my friends. Mm-hmm. It really makes you appreciate it. It really does make you appreciate this country.
You betcha.
You become a patriot.
You know, one of the things I discovered while I was still abroad was Tumblr.
Did you Tumble?
Yes. In fact, I set up my tumble log while I was still out of the country, along with Twitter. And gosh, probably a couple other things too. Maybe Facebook.
Good way to stay in touch. Now, your blog is called Sarah Word.
Yeah. It's SarahLynn.com, but I call it Sarah Word. You know, I feel like that's sort of a stupid name, but when I started it, blogs were all about words.
No, I think it's a great, are you kidding?
They weren't so
great name.
Yeah, it was kind of, so I thought it was really cute. Now I just feel like I can't change it because it's been like that for, you know, gosh, how long have I had a blog? 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
and now, so your Tumblr is Sarah Says.
Sarah Says, yeah. Tumblr.sarahlynn.com. So, you know, it's just a little offshoot. But yeah, on my Tumblr, anybody.
You've got audio now.
Yeah. Well, so for a while, you've been able to upload an MP3 file, you know, like music or, right. I mean, doesn't have to be music, but right. Usually people use it for music. 10 megabytes or under. You know, as long as you check a little box that says I have, you know, I can share
this. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which a lot of people don't, but anyway,
well, that's how people use Pounce. I mean, this has really replaced Pounce for a lot of people.
There are, yes, many similarities for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so you've been able to do that for a while, but just today, every once in a while, I go to staff.tumblr.com. It's their, you know, their little, it's like the Tumblr blog, lets you know of new features and cool things that are out. They had a little post about now you can post from your phone and it'll show up as a little audio file in Tumblr. So I thought, well, that's weird. That can't work that well. So I tried it. And I mean, I'm not kidding. It was flawless. Literally seconds later, my post was up.
Let's play it. Can I play it?
Oh, sure.
This is Sarah trying to sound like her mom, leaving a voicemail for Sarah.
Well, hi, Tumblr. This is Sarah Lynn calling. I just wanted to check out the call-in audio feature. I can't really figure out why I never want to use it, but I kind of like the idea. So
that's exactly what my...
I thought on that at night today. All righty. Hope you have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, sure. Betcha. You do sound Midwestern there for sure.
Well, my mom, you know, she, I love her. Linnell, I know you're watching this. I love you to death. But, you know, she, you know, the voicemail, it's kind of got this sort of rambling roller coaster quality.
Yeah.
And ambiguously Midwestern. I don't know why. She's not from
nowhere near there.
From Northern California. Yeah. Just like, it's funny. It's like, I wanted to ask you. Well, I don't know why I would be posting to Tumblr from my phone. I mean, I guess, let's say you were, you know, on Fifth Avenue in New York and you saw Heidi Klum and that was really exciting. You could be like, oh my gosh, I'm here on Fifth Avenue and I see Heidi
right.
Klum. And, you know, it could be audio. But it's like, I don't know.
I don't get it either.
It's a curious feature. It's cool. I think it's cool. I can't, you know, maybe the practical application of it will come to us later on.
I'm sure there's going to be a way to use it.
Yeah.
But I think what it is that people say, well, you can upload pictures. You mm-hmm. can upload videos.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to upload video audio. But see, here we are. We're doing audio. We're comfortable with audio. And we can't think of something to say.
Yeah.
I guess if I ran into Sarah Lane on the street. And I said, look, I got an interview with Sarah Lane. And we could do an interview via phone. And that would be uploaded.
I guess so.
So there's a special phone number to call? Is that how it works? What is it?
Yeah. I guess you have to be okay with giving them your phone number. So yeah, you just put in, enter your phone number and then they give you their phone number. It's like a 817 or I don't remember what. And I called it and then you can sort of set a little privacy if you want to be able to add a pin. So let's say somebody got the Tumblr number and wanted to.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, let's say somebody got a hold
post
of your phone
it, post
and wanted
you.
To do something
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that.
You can set a 4-digit pin so that they couldn't get past that, which is helpful because
you got me back doing Tumblr because you mentioned that the tweet Tumblr would tweet when you tumbled.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I started using it again. I have a blog, and for a while I was thinking, well, I'll just put. Why don't I put this stuff on my own blog? But some of this stuff is so throwaway.
Yeah.
You don't want to put it on your blog.
Tumblr's. It's interesting to me because, you know, I think it's such a, it works so well, you know, it's such a good looking little blogging engine, if you want to call it that, microblogging, whatever they call them, tumble logging. But it's, so, I mean, the community on Tumblr, although it's, you know, people who are very active on Tumblr are, you know, kind of rabid fans. But I mean, compared to something like Twitter,
it's not the same. No,
it's not the same at all.
You do you're supposed to follow people you're interested in. Like, I'm following you. So
I'm following you.
And when I see something interesting on your, then you can reblog it on your Tumblr.
Mm-hmm. You can reblog it or just like it. You know, everyone's doing the like thing now. On friend
feed, Facebook,
I get a lot
they're doing that. Like now.
On Facebook too. Yeah. To me, I don't know. I don't get a lot out of liking something. I don't know.
Well, here's the deal on liking it.
Yeah.
At least from the friend feed point of view.
Yeah.
Liking it, like is the wrong word. It should really be note or bookmark. Because what happens is if you follow somebody who uses this, on friend feed anyway, their likes percolate to the top of friend feed. So you see what they like. So in a way, and then you can like click the best of today or best of this week. So it's a way of filtering. I think it's could be useful.
That's true.
I don't know if Tumblr does that or not.
I believe you can sort that way.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Because sometimes you want to just, all you really did was enjoy something that someone else wrote. You don't really have anything to add.
Right.
Or you don't need to, you know, cut and paste onto your own Tumblr. Yeah, I do like Tumblr a lot. And I can see them being creatively trying to stay relevant, you know. The only problem I have with Twitter is Twitter, you know, within my Tumblr dashboard is I follow too many people on Twitter. So all my Tumblr folks are just sort of lost. I wish you could toggle that on and off, but I'm sure that's a feature that's coming. I can't be the first person who's complained about that.
Yeah, see, I'm only following 11 people on Tumblr. I'm trying to find I think maybe that's the other issue with Tumblr is they need to work on discovery of people. Twitter kind of stuff floats to the top. You see it. Well, okay. I'll add Zadi Diaz, Jason Kotke. He's good. So now they're starting to do recommendations. That's good.
Yeah. They've got.
Wow.
They've got
Zooey Deschanel has a Tumblr?
You know, I don't think it's her because all it is pictures of Zooey.
Oh.
I can't imagine the real Zooey.
It's not her. No.
That's, you know, a little much.
See, that's what I'm interested in is I like the idea of kind of following interesting people.
Oh, yeah. I can send you, Merlin.
How do you share that? Merlin I'm following. He has one of the best Tumblrs ever.
Kung Fu Grip?
Yeah, I love Kung Fu Grip. One. Yeah, no, I follow
Scott
him.
Simpson as well. A couple of the college humor guys I follow. Yeah, a lot of the Tumblr folks, unlike Twitter, well, I do follow people on Twitter that I don't know. But most of them I either know really well or I've met.
So can I see a list of your follows? No, I can't. There you go. That's what you can do on Twitter that you can't do here.
Well, here's the deal. I have removed my in my CSS on my Tumblr.
You've been bad.
I've actually removed that. I'm using a custom theme that somebody else made.
Right.
Called Peacock Tail, and then I kind of hacked it up a little bit. Like the little, I don't know if you're showing it right now, but over on the right-hand side, the Who's Sarah, I kind of wrote
that
in.
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah. Well, I just wanted something simple. But originally, sort of in that box or adjacent to that box, it shows all the people that you're following. I don't remember what my reasoning was. Was I following somebody I didn't want anyone to know about?
I did that when I started following porn stars.
I thought it was messy or something. Because this is so much more of a, you know, Twitter is like, we all are following people and we've got that same box.
Right.
I think on this, I just wanted it to look clean.
So it is something. Normally there.
It can be there or not there. It's kind of your prerogative.
I need to redesign mine. I'm getting really sick of my...
Your grass?
I use grass everywhere. At one point, I just thought, well, everybody will know it's mine because it'll have AstroTurf. And that's how you'll know you're on my pages.
It must be real.
It's the Leo AstroTurf.
Exactly.
Well, anyway. TUMBLR.com if you want to create your own Tumblr. And I'm leo.tumblr.com. And you can find Sarah's at tumblr.sarahlane.com.
Correct.
Sarah has a H in it.
That's right.
Sarah.
That's right, Leo.
That's right, Sarah. And you'll be back next week with another great episode of Net at Night because Drew Curtis of Fark.com celebrating its 10th anniversary.
You believe that? That's nuts.
I'm going to put Drew on the spot because I don't know, but I think we really gave him the big launch.
Tech TV?
Remember, he was on Screensavers every week with his weird and odd stuff. It was maybe a year after he'd launched I think we gave him the rocket to the moon, and I just want a little bit of credit.
I think he's a pretty cool dude.
He's great.
I think he might give that to you.
He's great. Well, even if I don't deserve it, he might.
I think he might.
I love. We'll talk to Fark next week. Sarah Lane, you're the greatest for a lefty. You're not so bad.
Ah, thanks, Leo. You're the best. Ooh, and Amber's gonna she's gonna call into the show next week as well.
She is. Excellent.
For everybody who's jonesing to hear how everything is going, she's going to be part of our little party next week as well.
Yay.
So that's.
Sarah Lane, thank you so much for joining us. SarahLane.com is the Sarah Word blog. And can we tell people what you're up to these days? Or is it a secret?
It's not a secret, really, although this will actually be the first public place I'm talking about.
Think about, do you want to say it or not?
Ooh. Well, let's not.
Let's
not
keep
for
them,
any, not for any reason. I should probably just
keep them in suspense. Yeah, write a blog post.
I'll write a blog post.
But no. This Week in Fun coming up Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv with Martin.
And our Stick'em's back, right?
So Stick'em's back and better than ever, yes.
All right, baby.
We were having a little Stick'em was stuck.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but I was able to get through to support and they fixed whatever was going on. So, yeah. Good. I was a little worried because we have a big week planned. We got a ton of good stuff, including this show. We were going to talk to Gina Trapani, for crying out loud.
Oh.
Sarah Lane, we'll see you next week. We'll see all of you next week on Net at Night.